country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be. A city where the storm clouds cannot gather. All this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea? To meet our loved ones and proud Christ forever. All this is just what heaven needs to be. We see the face of Jesus before whose image other lives all flee. And when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. For this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea?
Yes, sir, this is just what heaven.
For this is just what heaven means to me.
Well, hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. Happy New Year. We just thought we'd start the broadcast like that today, because this is the first Sunday of a brand new year, and that's what Something to Believe In is all about, is projecting the picture of heaven. And, you know, we've made it through another year. This is the very first Sunday of the year, and we're so thankful for you. We're so glad that you've opened your homes, your convalescent places, penitentiaries, wherever you are, that we might come in and worship the Lord. Let's do a recitation right here. I did this way back in the 70s. Bobby Groves, a good friend of mine up in Cleveland, Ohio, gave me permission to do it. Said his name is Jimmy.
Jimmy, he wasn't very old, about 10, 11 years since birth. But you wouldn't call life for Jimmy heaven on earth. He lived in a big town in the north part of the nation. His mom and dad had forsaken him, so he had to sell newspapers to stay off of starvation. Now his mom and dad, they loved the nightlife, and Jimmy was just too much bother. I wonder if they'll still feel the same when they stand before the Heavenly Father. Now down the streets by the old gospel mission, Jimmy carried his papers one day, and it was there he heard the preacher say, "Come to the altar. My Jesus will give you a new life and a better way." Jimmy's feet were cold, his eyes watered, and inside it might be safer. So Jimmy said, "I'll go in, and if I see Jesus, I want to give him a paper." So he walked in, and he sat down, and when the last altar call was given, Jimmy laid his paper bag upon the altar, lifted his watery eyes toward heaven, and said, "Jesus, this is Jimmy. Jesus, this is Jimmy." I guess you might say it was the only way this little fellow knew how to pray. So from that day on, when Jimmy would go by the old gospel mission, He'd walk down the aisle, lay his paper bag upon the altar, lift his face toward heaven and would say, "Jesus, this is Jimmy." Now one day, Jimmy rushed to the little gospel mission. The preacher was having a council session. Jimmy didn't realize he was disturbing anyone with this unusual prayer, but the preacher came and took him by the arm and said, "Boy, can't you see we're busy? Why do you keep interrupting us with this simple, unusual prayer? Jesus, this is Jimmy." Jimmy said, "Preacher, this is the only way I know how to pray. I want the Lord to know my name." But the preacher said, "This is not a good reason, son. You'll have to stop it just the same." So one more time, Jimmy was pushed aside. He left with tears in his eyes, but he said, "I'll make it." And he turned away, not knowing this was his last mile. It was a cold day, and Jimmy slipped from the curb. A big truck hit him on the run. The preacher inside caught a glimpse of the scene, feeling bad about what he'd done. He rushed to the boy, took him in his arms, and to the nearest hospital he fled. The doctor standing by, the preacher there too, they heard little Jimmy speak from the bed, "Jesus, this is Jimmy." The doctor felt his pulse, turned to the preacher and said, "His short life here on earth will soon be through." The preacher, with panic in his voice, said, "My God, what will we do?" All of a sudden, the room lit up with a strange and beautiful light. It seemed that someone was about to speak, but that someone was not in sight. The preacher cried, "If Jimmy could only be well, my God, how it would please us." It was then the voice spoke with a kind and gentle way, "Jimmy, this is Jesus. Jimmy, this is Jesus. Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven."
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. As I said before, I played that song. My good friend Bobby Groves, a minister in Cleveland, Ohio, wrote that song, gave me permission to do it, and it's always a beautiful song. Got a great story and a great meaning. Well, it is a brand new year. I'm Reverend Tommy Mouse. If you just tuned in for the first time, and you that have been listening down through the years, we certainly do appreciate you. We appreciate your help, your support. And I want you just this Sunday just to decide right now, what can I do this coming year that we might be able to help Brother Tommy to present the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay, let's go right back now. Listen to a real good friend of mine. And this is my good friend Clyde Murphy. And he asked a question. If God is dead, then who's this living in my heart?
He put flowers on the hill. Your cup he gladly filled. How can you turn around and say God is dead? But when your stories have all been told, there's one thing I'd like to know. If God is dead, a shelter from life's stormy weather, gives us love that keeps us together. When life gets like a ship on a raging sea, but when the stage of life grows cold, somebody helps us to play our role. If God is dead, who's this living in my soul? If my soul had windows, I'd leave them open so the world could see the ugly scars upon those hands. On Golgotha's hill. If God is dead, who's this living in my soul?
Well, let's send that out to Eddie Webb, a good friend of mine who we didn't really realize he hears the broadcast. But, Eddie, we're so glad you do. Then also we want to remember Mary Howe. She said she really enjoyed the broadcast last Sunday and enjoyed hearing Martha. Well, maybe we'll get her back on another time. And all of you that are listening today, we appreciate Clyde and also Juanita and Wanda, who done that beautiful song. That's been my favorite song that we've been doing and we've been hearing for a lot of years. And Clyde, just keep it up, because I'm a preacher that believes that God is alive and well, and he's going to do more in 204. How about you? You going to plan on doing more in 204? Well, let's go right back now and listen to a song right here that we have on tape. This is an older one also, and I want you to give it a listen to. It says, mountains are so hard to climb.
The mountain starts in a valley, and sometimes they are so hard to climb. There are trials and troubles all along the way, but my Lord will be on my side. And when I reach the top of the mountain, it will all be worthwhile. For you see, I'll be closer to the Lord than I have been. That makes the mountain worth a climb. Now, Lord, the mountain that I have to climb, it gets harder all of the time. And sometimes I want to stop, but then I think about the top, and that makes the mountain worth the climb. And now that I've reached the top of life's mountain, it has all been worthwhile. For now I am closer to the Lord than I have been. That makes the mountain worth a climb. That makes the mountain worth to climb.
All right, let's go for the New Year's message today, a message that we preached in our church last Sunday morning. I want to challenge my radio audience today with it, and I think it's as much as important to you here by means of radio as well as to the churches. It simply says, am I my brother's keeper?
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Father, your word for your people honored. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And all the people said it.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. If there's one thing that I would like to say to you, that back in 1968, I began my first radio ministry. I began my ministry in Hinton, West Virginia. Never forget it. I could even tell you the passage and the scripture that I preached on my first radio message. But I made a statement on that radio station, and one of my very good friends called it to my attention, and I've made it one of my awareness things ever since I've been preaching. And I try to make it very plain and very obvious to people. I made the statement that all men are the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. This great man of God told me, he said, Tommy, that's not a true statement. And I'd like to say to you today, that isn't a true statement. Not every man is the brotherhood of man. And not every man is the fatherhood of God. Man only becomes the sons of God through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say that to you today. Maybe you just thought you accidentally got into God's plan. It wasn't like that. God planned it, God purposed it, and Jesus purchased it at Calvary. That's how you got into the fatherhood of God. But this morning I want to speak on something, and I think it's very, very obvious and very interesting to the church. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, it was God that asked that question. When he came and Cain and slew his brother Abel, he came to Cain and he said, "Cain, where is thy brother Abel?" You know, there was two great answers to that question. And one answer we overlook entirely. But I think it's a very powerful question, and it needs a very honest answer. Cain said to God, "I know not." And you know, today I'd like to ask you, if you're your brother's keeper, do you know where he is? If you are your brother's keeper, do you know where your brother is? Cain knew where Abel was, but yet he says back to God, "I don't know." And you know, church today, if we being the church of God don't know our areas and our situations, we are in trouble. Because we ought to know our areas and our situations. We ought to know where God is calling us to. We ought to know the things that God is calling us for. And we are our brother's keeper. But if God came today and he said to you and I, "Where is thy brother?" Would you say to God, "I don't know"? Would you have to say to God, "I don't know"? You see, that's why it's a very important answer. And I pray today that our church would not say that, make that statement to God. Because it's a very critical and very sad statement. Not to know where your brother is. Because you see, God said to Cain, "Cain, where is thy brother Abel?" He said, "I don't know." Am I my brother's keeper? You know what Cain was saying to God? The same thing a lot of us church people do. We say back to God, "I don't know. After all, God, he's not my responsibility." But this last Sunday of this year, I want to challenge you to answer that question. If you know where your brother is, you ought to know what your responsibility is. You see, that's our problem today. We don't want no responsibility. We don't want to have to do anything. We want to go to church on Sunday morning. We want to give of our tithes. We want to give of our time. But we overlook the main thrust of God's message. We are responsible. Paul said, "I'm a debtor. I'm in debt to the Jew. I'm in debt to the Greek. I'm in debt to every man I meet on the street." John Wesley made a statement. Oh, by the way, you know who he is. He's the founder of the great Methodist Church. He said, "The world is my parish." And this morning, we as Christians make the same statement. Is he my responsibility? Will we be held responsible for our brother? Will we be held responsible for those that we meet in life? Well, you say, "Well, preacher, that's your job." Well, I've got news for you, my friend. I know my responsibility. I know what God has called me to do. God called me to a message of faith. He taught me how to live and walk by faith. I do not walk by sight. I walk by faith. I was converted on the sidewalks of Roanoke, Virginia. I was converted, and I remember the passage of Scripture that I was asked. I had been to church all my life. I had been baptized. I had sung in the choir. I had done everything any good church-going boy ought to do. But yet I was unsaved. I did not know Christ as a personal Savior. You see, because I was a whole lot like a whole lot of other people. I wanted to go to heaven, but I wanted to live in the world. I wanted all that God had, but I wanted also all that the world had. I was torn between good and bad. I wanted all that God had to give, but I didn't want to give God anything. The question was asked me was this. How long will you halt between two opinions? You see, there's a verse of Scripture that my brother was buried by as an alcoholic. When I would to do good, evil was always present. When I wanted to do good, evil is always present. And you know, that's the downfall of many people. But when God called me to preach, it wasn't the bishop. Now, the bishop appoints, but God sends the preacher. How can they preach except they be sent? And how can you hear except there be a preacher? You see, a preacher is not just any ordinary Joe off the street. When he stands before you and expounds upon the Word of God and the articles of God, you should pay attention. You know, back in Israel's day, when the prophet would stand before the people, the horn would blow, and the people came to attention. And the prophet would stand among the people, and you will read it in Scripture. You know the first words that came from that prophet's mouth? Hear ye, O Israel. You know what they knew? They knew he had a message from God, and it was very important that they listen. You see, we have the priest in the Bible, and we have the prophet. The priest is the one who offers a sacrifice unto God. But the prophet is the one who speaks to the people about the articles of God. So when he said to the people, Hear, O Israel, they knew that something important was coming down the pike. Notice in Ezekiel, a man who was called of God, a preacher if you please, in Ezekiel 3:18, When I say to the wicked man, You shall surely die, and you do not warn him from his evil ways to save his life, that wicked man shall die for his sins, but you will be accountable for his blood. That's what the preacher man said. That's what I should say. You know, I've had so many people to say to me, why do you always preach on sin? Well, is not that the message that God has given us to preach? Why did John the Baptist, when he looked and seen Jesus coming down the hill, why did he say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Because the Bible said all men have sinned. All men have fallen. All men have failed and come short to the glory of God. We all like sheep have gone astray. Every man hath turned to his own way. It's still yet repentance. It's still yet the soul that sins going to die. Our message should be to the sinner. The saint of God ought to rejoice. If sins have been forgiven, you ought to shout. You ought to worship and praise God in such a magnified way because sins have been forgiven. The blood has been applied. You ought not sit and soak and sour. You ought to be the happiest person that ever lived. The preacher who has preached to you. I didn't like that guy either. My land sakes alive. I never saw a man eat so much chicken in all my life. Now the educated preacher today don't like chicken. Did you know that? They accuse us of like chicken, but you know what I like? I like steak with some green peppers and onions smothered over top of it. You see, my chompers, I paid too much for them to eat that old cheap chicken. I'm going to move on up to steak. But anyhow, the preacher, the man I didn't like, he took the best seat at the table. As a matter of fact, I sat in the living room, and I heard him chomp them jaws together, and he'd brag on them cathead biscuits until they're gone. He'd eat that gravy until it's gone, and he'd sop on the mashed potatoes, and he'd brag on the cranberry sauce, and finally he'd roar back from the table and say to Miss Mounts, Miss Mounts, you really fix a good meal. I went in and looked at it. It wasn't nothing but bones and a greasy bowl left. And you think I'm going to like that guy? Why, I said, I wish Mom would quit inviting him home, take him to McDonald's. Good thing McDonald's wasn't existing then, or she probably would have. But I wasn't really fond of that man. I wasn't fond of him because of what he did to me. I had to take an old cold plate and wait. I didn't get the first plate like he did. But let me tell you about the preacher man. The Bible said in Ezekiel 3:17, I have made him a watchman. And then Paul came along in Hebrews 13:17 and said, Obey your leaders. Submit to the people who have authority, for they are keeping watch over your soul, as they must give an account. One of these days I'm going to have to give an account. Hey, it's not the first of the year. Let's do the income tax. I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to have to give an account for everything I did. I pit and I pamper you, and you go to hell.
Has a broken wing, it will never fly higher anymore. Let me tell you what I know. That's not always so. For once I lay helpless and so, I fell from above like a wounded dove, with no hope of ever climbing again. But with grace from above and God's marvelous love, I'm flying higher than I've ever been. Higher than I've ever been. I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I've ever been.
Well, our Father, we've been challenged once again as we begin a brand new year for Christ. And we need to ask ourselves, what is our responsibility? Well, God, you've given us a great gift here by giving us a radio ministry. You give us so many people who stood behind us, who stood with us. Lord, they felt the burden that I felt. They felt the need that I felt. They felt the need to preach the gospel out to those who, Lord, possibly don't go to church, but they will turn the radio on and listen. In the homes, the convalescent places, the penitentiaries, many people have made commitments and made statements of how the broadcast has touched their heart. And Lord, we thank you for that responsibility. Now God, give me men and women that will stand behind me. Because Lord, you said we must redeem the time because the days are evil. We thank you, Lord, for everything we've done. We pray that you use everything that has been given to this broadcast. Use it so that some soul will be saved. Someone will be healed, that someone will be lifted up. And most of all, that you will be lifted up, because you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Higher than I've ever been.
Well, neighbor, we have been laid, a great responsibility has been laid upon our shoulders, and a great responsibility has been laid upon your shoulder, because this is not only my ministry, this is your ministry. And who knows, God's used it tremendously, and God's going to continue to use it tremendously in the coming year. And I've always said it, if God be for us, who can be against us? And together we stand, but it's divided that we fall. Well, may God bless you this coming year. And most of all, we wish you one of the happiest new years that you've ever had. And let's see if we can't win a soul for Jesus Christ. Well, goodbye. Be good. May God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.